Welcome to the Quest of Fishing Adventures podcast, Chapter 4. Welcome back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. I hope that you're doing well, and if you've been fishing since my last podcast, let's hope you've put a few stonkers on the bank. So, as you can see by the title, I'm fishing the Noisy Lake, and I didn't expect to be saying that this soon from, like, pretty much my last comment last time I was there, that, you know, that I was going to park up the Noisy Lake and move on with my other bits of fishing, my new lakes and all that. But I found myself in a situation where I'm basically coming back from somewhere, and I'm going to be driving past the Noisy Lake, and I've got all my fishing stuff in the van. So for me, it feels like a no-brainer. Let's go there, let's put a rod or two out and see what happens. Now, the day is Sunday, so what's the time? 25 to 2. So I have no idea on how busy or not busy this lake will be. It's really bright blue sky. We've had a lot of rain previously, but today there's no rain at all. It's really quite a blue sky, to be fair, and a few white clouds around. So looking at the weather forecast, it doesn't look like it's going to rain. So that could mean that there could be anglers down there, being a Sunday as well. But we'll find out. I'm about 45 minutes away from it. So yeah, we'll find out then, and you'll find out then as well. So where am I going to go? I hate saying this. I say this, don't I? You should never decide where you're going to go on a lake before you get there. You should walk around, you know, and see if you can find fish. Which I probably should do here. My last few trips down here, if you listen to this podcast, I've actually struggled a little bit. They seem to have moved out of the holes they were in and gone into the main lake. But what I'm thinking is, it's still a good place to start. And you'll know what I'm talking about, the Honey Hole 1 and Honey Hole 2. But we'll see. So basically, I'm going to get there. The good thing about the Honey Hole 1 and 2 is, to get to Honey Hole 1 and 2, you practically have to drive nearly the whole way around the lake anyway. So, and you literally drive around the lake, so you can, and I always do. I do look out and, you know, see if we can see, you know, if there's any fish shows at all. Yes, granted, it's not the easiest thing to do. You know, you are going to miss a few things when you're driving, because you've got to look where you're going, obviously. But you've got to go nice and slow, so it does give you a good opportunity to look. So I think when I get there, I'm going to drive around. We'll go past Honey Hole 2 first, see if anyone's in there, and then we'll obviously get to Honey Hole 1. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know actually. I'm not going to decide. I actually don't know. But there is something else I do want to talk about. So I haven't spoke about this too much in my recent podcast. It sounds like I'm going to go into something really like, oh my God, what's going on? Nothing major at all. Basically, I'm always looking out for bushwhacker poles. As you guys know, I absolutely love my bushwhacker. Absolutely amazing. I had it since they first came out. It's, without a shadow of a doubt, put so many carp on the bank, and I always talk about it. So, and as you guys know, I've got about, I can't remember how many poles then, 17 poles? No, more than 17 poles. I don't know, I've got quite a few poles already. But what I have noticed lately is, when I've been pushing out my bushwhacker on a bit of a distance, if I'm taking too long, my bushwhacker's starting to sink a little bit, and I can't see any like hairline fractures in the spoon itself, or you know, the poles, they look fine. So I don't know what that is about. So it's always been in the back of my head, like, you know, do I need to replace the spoon itself? And I must admit, I've not looked hardcore into whether you can buy the spoon on its own, but from where I have looked, I can't seem to find where you can buy just the replacement spoon. So it kind of left me in a bit of a predicament, because I always want poles. So the predicament was, is do I continue using it as it is, because it does do the job still, it's working, and just go and buy extra poles. I think you can never have enough bushwhacker poles. You can never have enough. Or do I just go and buy a whole new bushwhacker, like 15 meter bushwhacker, and, you know, take the extra poles that way? So what I decided to do after a little bit of research, I went and brought a new bushwhacker. Yes, I did. Now what I did get is, when, and I'm always honest, I always tell the truth of my thoughts, my opinions. Obviously, just gonna say again, they're my thoughts and my opinions. When I first saw the new bushwhacker that Nash brought out 2 years ago, a year and a half ago now, like the Pro and the Pro XL, and the Pro and the Pro XL has the deeper attachment, and it also has the bridge where you can turn, where you can basically drop a lead down and feel what the bottom is on it. It's quite a clever system. Now, I always, when I first saw it, I thought that's a bit gimmicky. But after watching a few videos on it last week, it kind of convinced me that I do need that in my life. So I went out and brought one with the bridge and the deeper attachment. Now, before I go into the next one, which I want to talk about, which one I got, when I got it delivered, because I got it delivered from good old Angling Direct, because there was none local in my my local tackle shop. I was like, when I got the deeper attachment out and clipped on, I was like, oh my god, this is actually really good. It's proper solid. Because as you guys know, I have got like a non-gen bushwhacker attachment for my bushwhacker now. And literally how that works is, it is someone's 3D printed attachment that you can put your deeper on, and it basically sticks on with a bit of Velcro. And I'm not going to lie, it's never filled me with confidence, which is why I never use it that much. I was always worried that somehow if I knock something, or that gets caught up on something, or just falls off, I'm going to lose my deeper, which wasn't attached to anything. So I was always scared to put out a fair bit of distance, and so which stopped me using it a lot. But this one, the deeper attachment that comes with the new XL Pro, well, it comes with the other one as well, not just the XL one, the Pro, a bushwhacker, it literally clips on solid. I'm really impressed by it, I really am. So yeah, I'm buzzing to use that. I'm going to start using my deeper more. As you guys know, I don't use a deeper to find fish. I'm using the deeper to see the depths. I'm using the deeper to see what the bottom looks like. So that's a big win for me. So I'm going to start using that more. So I'm really excited about using that. And the other thing that with it is the bridge. I don't know if I'm going to use the bridge that much to feel the bottom. I think in some occasions I will. I think in my thoughts are with it, if you got a deeper on it, you probably don't need to really use it that much, because the deeper is going to be giving you, you know, the information that you want, to be fair, and a lot more and a lot quicker. So I probably won't use it, but I'm not going to write it off. It is a clever idea. So anyway, which one did I get out of the two? So basically, you've got the same size spoon, or you've got the extra large spoon, and I went with the extra large spoon. Why did I go with the extra large spoon? Because I found in my fishing recently that when I've actually been putting bait out, or pre-baiting with my bushwhacker, it doesn't take a lot. It takes, I think, it off the top of my head, it takes about 800 grams, so it's not even a kilo of weight. And if you pile it up too much, which I kind of had a habit of doing, you sink it, or you get water in it, and you have to bring it in, and you end up losing a lot of what you've just put in. So I wasted a lot over the last couple of months doing it that way. But the new Pro XL takes 1.5 kilos of boilie, they say. We're yet to test it, but it's noticeably much bigger than the original one. So I'm absolutely buzzing to use that to like basically, you know, use it to bait up and that. And obviously I've got the other one as well. If I got a smaller hole that I want to push in. So yeah, I've got that. And I'm dead excited about using it. I'll bring you on my journey and my thoughts on it as I use it. And but I can't see it being rubbish, generally. I'm so impressed with the original one. The newer model as well, if you don't know as well, they've apparently improved on the float system on it. So that's just going to be another win as well. I can't see how it's not going to be. And it's going to be like more easier to push through the water, apparently. But I didn't struggle with that anyway. So I'll be intrigued to see how well that actually works out, and how much better it is. And as you guys know, I will give my honest opinion on it. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about. That's where we're en route now. Absolutely buzzing. Hopefully we can get a carp out or two. So let's find out. I'll see you bankside. Right, I am here. Rods are out and fishing. So where am I? I'm not in Honey Hole 1. There was someone in there. I'm not in Honey Hole 2. There was someone in there. And there was also, there is also three other anglers on the lake spread out from there. So I wanted to get away from people. Obviously it helps push the you know, the fish around and all that. So I've actually come into that spot I fish, which is the opposite end of where Honey Hole 1 and 2 is, in that corner of the lake over there, where I fished I fished a while back and had a couple of fish out. Obviously that was now a month and a half ago, something like that. Not too sure, it was a while ago now. I had actually had a couple of fish out of this swim. Didn't use deeper at the time, we'll say that. One spot turned into be really good. Moved the other rod round to the other one, and that started fishing really well. I lost a couple as well, I believe. Anyway, so I've come in here using the Bushwhacker, the new Bushwhacker, with the deeper on, and it surprised me. What surprised me, I hear you ask. It surprised me how shallow this end of the lake is, like all the way from pushing it out from where my pod is. It was like 3 foot, and then it kind of went like to 4.5 foot, for not for long at all. And then it just went 3 foot, pretty much, and it's pretty much 3 foot all the way out, just like flat 3 foot all the way out to where I was catching them, those fish from last time. And I'm like, I put the Bushwhacker out with the rig on over there. I'm like, do I want to fish on this? Is this too shallow? Then I'm thinking, well, you know, I've had fish from it before, so I've got to give it a go. I'll talk about something about that in a second as well. The bottom, yeah, on the deeper wasn't like proper hard. I'm not fishing weed or anything like that. You can see that, like, you can see a little bit of softness on it as well. There's not like proper hard ground, so I'm still fishing on it though. I've put it on it and I want to fish on it because I know I've had fish from it before. Ooh, beep beep beep, left hand side rod, which is the spot I'm actually talking about now. And I've had fish from it before, and there's a couple of beats I've had from that spot there now. So I was a bit dubious whether to put it out on it or not, but I've gone for it on the back of what I fished before. But it really does mess with your head when you can actually gather more information that quick. But I'll tell you another good thing, at least my line lay is going to be really nice. Any fish swimming across like the middle section of the lake, will be swimming over my lines, you know, because I sink my lines down, you know, quite as low as I can. When I'm basically setting my rod end up, the butt end up on the pod. Sorry about the plane going over. So that's very encouraging to know that now. So the amount of information I've been able to gather from pushing the Bushwhacker out from the pod to where I've placed the bait, absolutely amazing. I'm well impressed with that. And that's one thing you don't get, obviously, if you put in the... You do get it. What I'm trying to say is, if you chuck your deeper out and you reel it in, you do get the information, but at least I know 100% that the line, the drop where it's going to be. I've literally just pushed it down a straight line from the pod, which is pretty much what you always do. You know, you're going in a straight line in whatever direction you're going to place it. So you really get that picture of exactly how your line's going to be lying, because like 10 centimetres to the left or to the right from where you've put the deeper out a few times could be a massive difference at the end of the day. So I hope that made sense anyway. So anyway, that one's out.
and I just heard everyone had a beep from it, had a beep before I started this little section. Literally dropped out on a noodle rig as usual at the moment, 18 mil wafter, DNA bug, and over that a bit of spod mix this time. I made up some spod mix that I was going to use last week on a night session. Not going to talk about that lake yet, that's going to be another session, but ended up not being able to go there, so I made up for that. So I wanted to use that, so I've dropped it out on that. Right hand side rod over to the lily, there's some lily pads to the right there. Yet again, it's 3 foot all the way out. Wow. So yeah, dropped it on there, found like a nicest ground there, exactly the same as the other one rig wise, spod mix and that. So they're out. I mean, I got here, and like this is what I want to talk about as well, which I briefly touched upon a second ago, and I said I'll come back to that. God, I'm really rambling a little bit here. Is I was like, okay, so we're like in October now, coming up to the end of October. As you guys know, it's not really, really mega cold anyway. So you kind of think the fish are going to move to the deeper water. So that's what was in the back of my head when I got over here, when I started realizing how shallow it was. Are the fish going to be here? Is it too shallow? Is the reason why I wasn't catching carp out of Honey Hole 1 and 2 because it's quite shallow there? It's a safe haven from where they clearly live in there, but maybe they don't live in this time of year. Maybe this time of year they are pushing out to the deeper end of the lake, which is not where I am. So I don't know. But I couldn't go to the deeper end of the lake because there was people fishing there. I didn't want to go there. I don't like fishing on top of people. You know, that's just wrong. I hate it when it gets done to me, and I don't want to do it to anyone else. And as I said, I'd rather go in a spot further away from everyone else and like try and get the fish being pushed out and pushed around. But what is encouraging, I've had a couple of bleeps. Now that might not be carp at the same time. It could be a bream. It could be a tench. It could be a crayfish grabbing my bait. It could be anything. Oh, another bleep. So I don't know, but it's just encouraging. There's something happening there now. I don't know. Maybe there's carp in there eating my bait, picking up the rig. Maybe they're getting away with it. Maybe I don't know. All these questions. See, a head fuck. It really is a head fuck. What is going wrong? What's happening down there? Next, I need a camera down there, don't I? That's what I need next. A camera sitting down there, back to where I'm sitting, so we could watch that at the same time. That would answer a lot of questions. That really would. And that'd also mess with your head a little bit more. But don't us anglers love that? We love it being messing with your head. We love the challenge and all that. That's why we come here, to catch fish. Anyway, yeah. So I really have rambled on in this section. The rods are out. Time now is 15:35. Got to be off this lake by 8 o'clock at the moment. Not too sure how long I am going to stay, if I'm going to stay up to that time or not. We shall see how it goes. So anyway, I shall update you guys hopefully in the next segment with a carp on the bank. Let's keep everything crossed. Well, it's 16:30. Just put my left hand side rod out because I've had a carp. Yes, I've had a nice mirror carp, guesstimating 12 pound, maybe something like that, but really nice. It's been quite frustrating so far. Both rods, I've been getting these odd like liners. Like, it's like the carp are on my seed mix that I've got down there, and they're feeding it and maybe picking up my rig and getting away with it. That's what it feels like. So I've been sitting here for a bit thinking, oh, do I switch it over, get off the bottom, get off the waft and put on like a pop-up on like a spinner rig and see if that makes any difference. I'm tempted to do that on the right-hand side of rod. I didn't want to change it on the left-hand side rod because I got a carp. So I thought, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Although I could change it and that's the wrong word to say. I could change it and catch more carp on a different rig system. But I decided to stick with the noodle wafter 18 mil. But definitely tempted to switch that right-hand side rod to a spinner and see if that makes any difference on there. So, yeah. That's probably a good idea. Let's do that. Right, I have switched the right-hand side rod again. Same spot, but yeah, gone to a pop-up. I've gone to DNA SLK 15 mil. I don't have any bug, and I haven't got any 18 mil pop-ups. They're all 15 mils, but something I need to add to the basket, some 18 mil pop-ups, definitely. In bug and SLK, I need some of them in my life, in my fishing bag. So yeah, that's out now. Same again, Spodniks over the top. Since I've done that, my left-hand side where I had that fish, that's been bleeping a little bit as well. So there's definitely fish down on that Spodniks. They definitely like it. And we might talk about the Spodniks a bit later and I'll tell you exactly what's in it. But let's hold fire for now. Let's not get too excited just yet.
Right, I am now home and I can confirm I caught no more carp. And I guess that's pretty obvious really, because I would have done another section. So basically, nothing happened on the right hand side rod, which is the one I switched to the pop-up SLK 15mm. But on my left hand side rod, it must have been about 6:30, 6:45. I was standing by the rods, just looking out. It's pitch black. I was just looking out, just trying to see if I could see any movement or anything, you know, just any signs or anything. And my left-hand side rod went bleep, 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 and I see it like tighten up, went bleep, 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 and I just picked it up, hit into it, and hit into absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. So that was just completely bizarre. I don't know what to say. So yeah, nothing on it. Yeah, so that's pretty much what happened, and now I'm home. What are my thoughts on today? I feel that we did okay, really. As I said, we're in October, back end of October now. Had a lot of rain over the last few days, so sometimes that just does affect a little bit of fishing, gets a lot of cover in the water and stuff. That can affect the fishing, but luckily I've got one out, not a lump, but all the same, a carp. Good to be using a bit of spod mix. The spod mix was definitely picking up a lot of liners, maybe, or potential pickups. But using the spod mix, which I guess now is a good time to tell you what's in the spod mix. So we've got Party Mix, which is that aniseed pigeon feed. I've got hemp seed in there, pre-made hemp seed on top of that, rock salt, normal salt, a little bit of sugar actually, some chili sauce, worm extract went in there as well. We've got my whole range of boilies, DNA SLK, DNA bug, 15mm, 18mm, 22mm as well, big ones. Got them in there as well. And I'm sure I've chucked other little secret ingredients in there as well, basically. But that's been, as I said, I think I said earlier in the podcast, that was made a couple of weeks ago and it's been in my van, ready for a trip that was meant to have happened this week that didn't. But yeah, it's definitely smells and looks proper carpy. It really does. But yeah, so what I was thinking, seeing that it's like, you know, it's got a lot of seed mix in it, you know, that is going to pull in other fish as well. And potentially, you know, that could be what some of the liners were. It doesn't necessarily mean it was carp in the swim. It could just be other fish as well. But at the same time, I see that as a good thing, because if it wasn't carp, it's pulling another fish. And if it's pulling another fish, it's going to pull in the carp. And we had a carp on it anyway. So really excited to be using that, different to what I've normally been doing. You know, if you guys haven't listened to previous podcasts, normally it's like whole boilies, a whole range of boilies, and crushed boiling on top. So it's nice to make a bit of a change out there. How long can I continue using this at the moment? I don't know. If the temperature starts dropping, it starts getting really cold, you know, you're not really going to be putting a lot of bait out. I guess it depends where you're fishing, really, because they're not going to be on the feed as much. You're kind of more going to be fishing for a bite. So you might just put a handful of bait out once it starts getting really cold. But anyway, we're going to cross that bridge when we come to it. Also, a quick talk on the Bushwhacker. Loved it. I felt like, I don't know whether it's the change in design of the floaters on the side of the spoon, or whether or not it's because I was using a much bigger spoon, but I did find it easier to control, to push out. I felt like I had more control of it over than the little one. It feels, when I use the little one, it feels like it gets pushed in the water more, and I find that I have to really adjust it.
but this one I didn't have to. But obviously you've got to remember, this is the first time I used it, and some days it goes out really well, like the original one I've got. It just depends on what the water conditions are like, how much of a wind on the lake pushing it. So over the next few months we'll be able to give a full proper review on it, but at the moment absolutely love it. Deeper worked fantastic on it. That was really handy. We've already talked about that, but we'll park that for now, and I'm sure I'll talk about loads, because you know I absolutely love my Bushwhacker, and I really do. So we'll talk about that throughout podcast going forward. So anyway, that ends the session today. Went back to Alex's on the way back, and hopefully I'm fishing a new lake, which is on my ticket, my new ticket, on Tuesday, I think it might be. Might be doing Tuesday night, but you're going to have to wait and find out, because actually I've got to wait and find out whether that's happening, but hopefully it will happen anyway. So I'm going to end this podcast here. I really do appreciate you listening to it once again, taking the time out. And if you go fishing from now until our next one, let's hope you put a few on the bank. And all I can say now is, tight lines.
If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That would be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.